You'll have to slum, Kampfmeister.
Okay.
I don't think I'll bother.
Okay. So, so last week, we dealt mostly with the question of how do you deal with our sugya, which assumes that you can't bake dough, which is half-owned by a Jew and half-owned by a non-Jew. How do we hold that that's usur, because Ochel Nevesh only applies to Jews? Again, as we'll come to, presumably, because they're the only ones who are obligated in Simchas Yom Tov, and the heter of Ochel Nefesh of cooking or doing the malachos on Yom Tov are for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Yom Tov. But how does that work with the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin, which say that you're allowed to fill the oven with bread simply to improve the quality of the bread? So we basically went through Tosfos last week and the different ways of understanding Tosfos, right? Tosfos had asked that question. So Tosfos said it's not entirely clear what he said. Either he said maybe we simply, the Gemaras are arguing, he rejects that, but that was at least a possibility. Or it's only permitted to use that ancillary heter of it improves the quality of the bread if you also happen to be doing it for a Jew. If you're not doing it for a Jew, so that doesn't work because you need both Hoel and Letzorach Yisrael, you need Hoel Letzorach Yisrael plus the improvement of quality. And we saw variations of the Pnei Yeshua and the Chassam Sofer. Or we saw the possibility, which seems to come from the Meiri, that there's a difference between not doing it for Ochel Nevesh and doing it for a non-Jew, which is anti-Ochel Nevesh, because you're doing it for a specific other purpose, rather than just saying, I'm baking extra. You're doing it for something which is specifically usur. So just a few more possibilities of how to deal with it. Here we'll bring in Halach Lamasa. I put it at the beginning. Right? So this daf looks almost identical to last week's, because, I mean, I just copied the second half of the page, and the first half is just Hashlamot on the last week's topic. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Sha'ar Tzion notes this problem, but he doesn't have an answer to it. So he just said, L'chaora, l'fi ma shepasuk ha'amalek haman, b'simin tof kuf yod beis, sif aleph b'hagad, d'mutu l'harbos b'gdera achas, b'shvil avda, b'shchazo kananim. That which we say, that it's permitted to, and we'll come back to this, to cook in one pot for your maidservants, for your slaves, your servants, whatever. And this is true even if you could give them other food, because in the end of the day, if you're cooking one big pot of food, it's one tircha. And as we know, ribui shirim and yom tov is mutter.
Does this assume the rest of the pot is for Jews?
Or at least some of the pot is for Jews. Yeah, I mean, but once some of the pot is for Jews, you can fill up the rest, right? That's what, we'll come to this. He said, "V'rak b'pas haskamasim la'asr." And only by bread we say it's asr. Mishum to call kikar v'kikar tircha b'fnei asmahu, because each loaf is an independent act, right? Independent effort. Umashmel v'fized demir to lefas pasachas gadol shiya daylo v'gam la'avdo kanani mutter. The implication: if you made one big loaf of bread, it'd be fine. Mishum to chad tirchahu v'imkain lecharach anami v'nyanius. I don't understand how, if that's true, then why is it that you can't bake multiple loaves? You can't make one loaf of bread which belongs to the Jew and the non-Jew, right? You should be allowed to do this. It should only ever be asr if you're doing multiple different loaves of bread, because then you're baking a separate loaf for the non-Jew. But if it's one big loaf of bread, it should be fine. Okay. And yet the Gemara distinguishes and said, by bread, by an animal, if you want to shech the animal and you own it in partnership, so you're allowed to shech it because you need to shech it to get even one kezayis. But if not, it would have been asr. But now he turns on his head. He said, the implication is that it's not enough to say that it's chad tircha, because the Gemara could have just said, the reason you're allowed to shech an animal that's half owned by a Jew and half owned by a non-Jew is because it's one act. The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said it's because you have no choice but to shech the whole animal. Why didn't the Gemara just say it's not about your choice, it's that it's one act? And even if you did have a choice, it wouldn't matter. Because once it's chad tircha, it's fine, because ribui shiurim is mutter. And therefore, once you're doing one act, it doesn't matter how much you're getting out of that act, it's fine. Right? And if filling up a pot to the top with extra food is considered one act, for sure shechting is one act. Right, shechting literally is one act.
Didn't you say even if it just belongs entirely to a goy? the Jews are going to eat from it.
Well, that was a machlokas. So that was a machlokas. That Nimulum thought that wouldn't work because that's to be owned by Jews, and most Acharonim and Yehuda thought that's fine. Right? But here, we're talking about a case where you're not going to eat the half of the non-Jew. But the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't get it. In the end of the day, it should be fine because it's one tircha and it improves the quality of the bread. And yet the Gemara implies that no, it's not enough that it be one act. It has to be that you couldn't have split it up, and that's why we forbid it by bread. So we note that there's this tension, right? That on the one hand, we say Ribui Shiurim is Mutter. On the other hand, the Gemara puts severe limitations on it in the case of Goy. So he leaves it as a Tzarchi and he just doesn't understand it, right? He said at the end of the day, there exists a tension. Okay. The Ran suggests in two. He says, Ikaman Damar, Afil Betan Rechad, Lo Shar Lafosa. So the Ran says, some people interpret it like Tosus does. Namely, that our Gemara would tell you that even in the same oven, you're not allowed to bake for the Jew and the non-Jew together. And that's why Tosos thought a contradiction, because the Daf Yud Zayin said I could bake multiple loaves, even if I only need one of them. And Daf Chaf Aleph says that if I have a loaf which is owned by a Jew and one is owned by a non-Jew, I'm not allowed to bake the non-Jews. And therefore Tosos had a contradiction. The Ran says, I have an easy solution. Everyone agrees in the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin that the only time you're allowed to fill up the whole oven is if you're filling up one oven. If the case of Daf Chaf Aleph, the only time it's usher to bake the bread that belongs to the Jew and the non-Jew is if you would have to put it in a second oven. But you're right, right? If you had a really small oven and had enough room for one loaf of bread, or you were already baking five loaves, right? And this is loaf number six, and now your oven is full, and now you're putting one, you have to put the non-Jew's loaf of bread in the other oven. That's the only time it's usher. But you're right. If it was one oven, and the non-Jew's bread was baking and improving the quality of the Jew's bread, then in fact it is mutter. There is no contradiction. Right? They are saying the exact same thing. The Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin said you're allowed to bake multiple loaves of bread in the same oven to improve the quality of the loaf of bread, and our Gemara would agree. The only time the Gemara says you can't bake the non-Jews is where it's, as he said, yoser mimi lo itaner, when it would have to go in overflow into another oven. Because then it's obviously not benefiting the Jews' bread, and that is going to be...
So why would you think that it would be okay?
You wouldn't, and that's why it's usher. Because the Gemara is bringing it up to contrast it with Shechita. Right? That by Shechita, when it's half-owned, you have no choice. By bread, you theoretically have a choice. Okay. The Ramah, in 3, in the Darkei Moshe, Paskins like this, right? It says, V'ibos ha-kadeira b'chol gavnei shari. So if it's in that same pot, then yes, it is mutter. And that which we're going to say in a little bit, that it's forbidden to, it would be also to add food to bake for a guy or cook for a guy, that's only in another pot. He said the whole concern with non-Jews is that you're going to bake in another oven, or you're going to cook in another pot. But you're right.
So
it's in the same...
Siug?
What?
So what is it, a siug?
So what we're going to come to is inviting non-Jews is just exer d'rabanan. But cooking for non-Jews, the Ramah says in Ochanami, it's mutter if it's in the same oven. Right? So what comes out for the Ramah is that if the Jew and the non-Jew own the, you know, this dough, right, and you're not baking anything else, and if you put your loaf in, so it'll be the only loaf in the oven, and that won't be good for the baking. And the non-Jew's loaf will improve the quality of the baking. So then, in fact, it's mutter. And why, then, does the Gemara later on forbid even inviting non-Jews to your house on Yom Tov? A gzeira, you might end up cooking for them. Because the Ramah says, because according to the Ramah and the Ran, it seems unlikely. Because what's going to happen? If, let's say, you're making soup. According to the Ran and the Ramah, if you're making soup, it's fully mutter for you to cook for a Jew and a non-Jew, right? It's one pot, right? Or if you're making a batch of cookies, it's totally mutter to bake a full loaf, a batch of cookies, assuming it improves the quality, which in our ovens, we already talked about, it doesn't, but fine. In the time of Chazal, right, you're making, I don't know, lafa cookies, right? You're going around the The same way we make falafels, you put on the side of the oven. Fine. So you could do that for a non-Jew. So then the obvious question of the Ran and the Rama is, okay, then why can't I invite a non-Jew? Because I'm worried that not only will I cook for the non-Jew, but I'm going to end up cooking a separate dish for the non-Jew? And the answer is, yes. The Gzeira D'Rabbanan, the only reason we forbid inviting non-Jews is because you might cook for them, but the only time it's also to cook for a non-Jew on Yom Tov is when you're cooking in a separate pot or a separate oven. But if you're cooking the same oven, the same pot, then it's in fact mutter. And despite that, it's still also to invite them on Yom Tov because of Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Next week, I think it's just going to be that, right, is the nature of the Isser of inviting non-Jews on Yom Tov. But right now we have to set up the Deraisas. The Darabon will come to next week. I spent many hours on this already because the Gemara says explicitly it's Aser, and, you know, it is like, as the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it is a old minhag in Yerushalayim that they used to invite government officials to the Seder, right? Rav Kook had government officials at his Seder, right? So it's a, or more common, Gerim. For people in the process of Geirus come to Yom Tov meals to see what Yom Tov is like. Or intermarried couples, right? The question is there any heter for this? We'll see. It's not so obvious that there is, but there might be.
Interpretation of Kol Tefin used to be they invite the goyim in gave them food.
Right, so that might be problematic, right? But
that's what the...
That's what we're going to come to. Next week, we'll deal with the Derabbanan.
No, but Rappel likes to invite them on.
Right, so as we'll see, it's against a Gemara at first glance, right? How we deal with that Gemara is what we're going to have to deal with next week. But first we have to deal with the Daraisa. But the Daraisa is that what's also, according to the Ramah and the Ran, is cooking for a non-Jew in a separate pot. According to Tosvos, that's not true. I mean, that is true. But cooking in the same pot is also Aser, right? According to Tosvos, the only time that Ribui Shiurim is Mutter is for a Jew. But if you're doing it for a non-Jew, even though it's only Ribui Shiurim, it's still Aser, right? Either because like Meiri, it's now an anti-Ochel Nefesh, because I'm doing it for a specific purpose, which is included by Gzeiras HaKosuv, or Blachem Lo Nachrim, whatever the case may be, Ribui Shiurim is Aser for non-Jews. But remember that the Ramah paskens its mutter, so that's going to be important, right? Because the Ramah, at the end of the day, is going to say that if you're cooking for a non-Jew, right, you're making just a big pot of matzo ball soup, or whatever, or chicken soup, or vegetable soup, or whatever you're cooking, it's not going to be a daraisa problem as long as it's one pot. So that's already going to be important. Because according to Tosfos, if you cook for a non-Jew specifically, then you are violating a daraisa. According to the Ramah, based on the Ran, as long as you keep it in the same pot, it's only Aser D'Rabbanan. If it's Aser D'Rabbanan, it might be a little bit more flexible.
Yeah, according to the Ramah, the way I understand the Gemara, when it says you can't cook for a Jew and non-Jew together, it means for a non-Jew in a separate pot.
Correct. And then...
Well, so what's the happen mean that it would be mutter?
So, again, I think for him, he's just contrasting the Chetze Shel Nachri and Chetze Shel Ak of Yisrael with the case of the Behema. Right? Because remember, they came up as parenthetical to Behema Chetze Shel.
Okay, but now you've got to tell me that I can't take a separate...
According to the Ran and the Rama, it's almost obvious, right? You're right. I mean, as we'll see, I mean, it's not obvious because it depends on Xeris HaKasov, but Lechem Lo Lanachrim.
Maybe you think it's mutter because of Tikkun Olam.
Well, that actually may come up, right? Because the Gemara assumes that Lochem Lo Lanachrim, because Mizonoson is not Alecha, and the Rishonim really wonder, what do you mean Mizonoson not Alecha? Sometimes you do support non-Jews, right? Because of well, not Tikkun Olam, but Darkei Shalom, what we call right. The Gemara, but similar things. But yes, that's what the Rama is saying. Now, parenthetically, as we'll see, the one case where it clearly is Daraisa, right, even if we're going to come up with a heter based on Derabanans, even if we're going to construct a heter, which again is not obvious, even if we're going to construct a heter next week for inviting non-Jews under certain circumstances to meals, what you clearly can't do, I mean, what would fit the case of the Ramah is if your guest is a vegetarian or has a peanut allergy or has some sort of allergy and you make a separate dish for them, it's gluten-free, right? That's clearly us from Midaraisa, right? You can't do that. Right, you can't, right, making one big soup would be mutter, but right, there are cases where you really do make a separate dish for someone who's coming. For a non-Jew, that would be aser midaraisa, right, according to everybody. Right, maybe not on, right, now, if you make it before Yom Tov and just heat it up and it's not a liquid, then it would only be aser midrabanan anyways, but fine.
Yeah, just as an aside, for a second. There's a separate Easter for inviting a goy to a sukkah?
Yes. Oh, yeah, to a sukkah? You mean as opposed to Yom Tov?
Yeah.
Oh, Kabbalistic stuff on it. I'm not really sure
that, because sukkah was like a Yom Tov where basically the korbanos for all of the...
Oh, you know, I've heard that. I don't know. It's a Kabbalistic thing. I don't know. Like, see, I've seen people who are very into this. I don't invite, you know, non-Jews to my sukkah.
Right.
But then they'll invite non-Jews to their Seder, which on balance...
Right.
Right. One of them is an Isser from the Gemara that you have... That if it's mutter, in any circumstance, it's a stretch.
Well,
right? As opposed to inviting someone to Chol HaMoed is clearly fine. Right? Just some Kabbalistic thing. So, whatever. People get mixed up what they care about. But we'll come back to it. Yes, because it bothers me that... Right, Kaufman isn't the only short rabbi. I know many short rabbis who invite non-Jews to Sedarim, right? Especially Pesach time. It's like a big thing. And it's been true for hundreds of years.
So it says, well, it says by Korban Pesach, right? I mean, I guess the argument
I mean,
there's no Korban Pesach today, so therefore there's no...
Right, I mean, obviously they can't eat the Korban Pesach. We don't have one. But besides that, there's this Isser in the Gemara. But again, that's what we're going to have to come to next week. The Ramah in 4 Paskins, what we just read, and says, Umutter laharbos b'shvil avda v'shchasa b'osa k'der shmavasha b'la'atzma sharkut imachol inin asr. He says, okay. Says, to cook... To increase in the pot for an eved and a shevcha who work for you is mutter. For other non-Jews, it is aser. But presumably, that, as he just said, that's not d'oraisa anymore, right? Since it's not d'oraisa to cook in the same pot, so for a regular non-Jew, it's still aser, right? That's part of the iser of inviting them. But if it's a non-Jew where it's mutter, such as an eved and a shevcha, right, where they you actually are chayev to feed them, what?
Yeah.
So then. The Ramah says you can invoke the heter of Osa Kedera, of Mamala Isha Osa Kedera, and you can cook for them as long as it's not in a separate pot. Right, for other Jews it's going to be Aser, but presumably not Daraisa.
Because there's an Eved to be a Kuti.
Correct.
Seems a little bit.
Even though he's like a half Jew.
Right.
Right, he's a half. He's a...
Right.
Yes. But the reason they are Matir is because Mizonos on Alecha. Okay, and then Magen Avraham says, "Afmash kozav Ramah, Divrei Beis Yosef, Adadim Yushev, Divrei Yamshach Shlomo, Tedavku beKedera Shari laHarbas Lavder Shulchaso, but Tanur Echad Aser to call Pazogat Sarachtircha b'fnei Atzmo, Elam Ken Yishlo Malafaisan, which go to Beis Yosef v'chein Ikar." But the Magen Avraham says, in the end of the day, we're only going to permit it by pots, by cooking. But as we've seen, baking is more machmir. Now, you could have, in theory, even permitted like the Ran does. Remember, the Ran even applies this to bread, but then Magen Avraham comes up with this compromise and says, we'll allow you, in the case of Eved and Shivcha, to bake, to cook more in a pot, because it's one tircha, but we won't allow you to bake more, because it's multiple tirchos. But remember, the Ran himself seems to think that's not true. On a d'oraisa level, you can even bake more. Magen Avraham comes up with a compromise and assumes, no, cooking will allow you to do, baking we won't, because it's multiple tirchos. Okay. Fine. The just a parenthetical sort of comment here, which is the next source that I put here, number 6, is the question of Lisha. Is the Gemara's whole discussion here about what's Usher and what's Mutter all revolves about around baking. But is there a problem? There are other malachos involved in baking, right, besides for baking itself. The first one is Lisha, right, is kneading it, which is also an Usher. So why does the Gemara focus on the baking, right? What about Lisha? Is it also to right? Like, let's say you have this huge thing of dough. So when do I have to split the non-Jews off? Do I have to do it like before I do anything? Or do I have to do it once it's dough already, right? I've kneaded it, right? And I'm splitting it up into loaves anyways. And as I split up into loaves, so it comes out, you know, 6 challahs, let's say. 3 of them are the Jews and 3 are the non-Jews. And I've already made them for him and I put them on the side, right? Am I allowed to do that? Or is that also?
Logically, it should be yes.
Right. Logically, it should be the same. But that's the question that the Pnei Yeshua takes up, right? He's the one who takes it up, so we'll just say it. He says, Avalenian Lisha Atzmo, Afa Gav Devin Nami Avalavcha, Afilachi Mutter, Christa Kevin the Kulu Chad Lisha. He says, no, I think it's Mutter. He says, why? And he said, how do you knead dough, right? When you knead dough, no matter how much dough is in it, at least the first parts of Lisha, you don't split. At the end, you split it up, but that's when you're putting the guys aside.
Half the dough.
What? Correct, but correct.
It's
so, you will see. He's going to reject this. But his Havamina, as he says, maybe only baking is usher because then you have to split it into multiple loaves, and you could split it. But
how do you identify Lisha, the goys?
Well, it's just 50-50. It's just 50-50.
No, you just owe it. You just put less flour in.
It's already. Let's say it's already in whatever. You know, it's already mixed up. But now you're pounding and you're doing whatever you're doing it.
But why can't I just say I'm not going to determine which part of this belongs to the goy until after the bread comes out of the oven?
Right. So that the Gemara assumes you can't because you could be machalik it, right? So that means half of it in the end of the day is not yours, right?
I don't know which half.
Fine. That's a harama or worse,
but it's
right?
Closer to a finished product.
What?
It's closer to a finished product, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Meaning at that point, but the Bnei Yeshua assumes that yeah, but. When I'm doing the leisha, like what? I need to start figuring it out. Like it's such a pain in the neck. Like I'll need the whole thing, and then as I'm about to split it up into loaves, so you know, make it easy. I was gonna make two loaves, right? So I split it down the middle, right? I make my loaf and I give the loaf to the non-Jew. But even though leisha is an av malach, I'm allowed to do it for the non-Jew. So that's his havamina. But the Bnei Yeshua then concludes not like that because he says like Alan said. He said right. I mean, very nice, but that doesn't seem to be true. Like, the Gemara's whole point is you can't do a malacha on Yom Tov for a guy, so why should Lisha be different than Afia? So he says, Miu, call him Mishnah Shalom, Bain Babli, Bain Birushalmi, Garcin, and Bahadi Isis Klavim, Naaseis be Yom Tov. He said, you know what? I think I must be wrong, because the Mishnah never said you can't bake the bread. It says you can't make the bread, right? Right? What does make imply? Anything involved in making bread, baking, kneading, whatever you do to bake bread. You can't do. Uvesefa nami ein nahaseis. Ela im kein ha'ilish namashma dafilu lisha nami asura. The implication should be that kneading is also asur. Kevan shi av melacha. Afal gav dechad tircham. He said, even though I could have said it's mutter. Why? Because it's one tircham. I'm doing it at one shot. I'm just pounding the bread all together. Still, mikol makom kevan daf melacha. Since in the end of the day, lisha is an av melacha. Ikla memer asur laharba melacha. Kevan shein shevach melisha. In the end of the day, it's still a problem because the leisha isn't any better whether the Jews and non-Jews dough is together or whether they're separate. And it's not like filling up a pot. Where we said it's permitted. Meruba yosin ruba, because things cook better when there's a full pot. Kemasha kasuva poskim. V'had d'shari nami tanakama benachdom l'malos chavish shel mayim. Afagav d'leka shevach meruba b'muad. And even though tanakama there said you can even cook more water, even though it doesn't improve the water. Mikomakom iklamir d'hasam b'milamayim lekam lacha gemura el tircha l'chud. Filling up a pot with water isn't a malacha. Right, the malacha is cooking, but you know you're turning on the flame and it's cooking anyways. So it happens to be extra water in there. But lisha, you're really doing a malacha with all of the dough, right? You're digging your hands in and you're kneading it, and you're doing it with the non-Jews. It says mashma mahay taima delinian lisha nami asur lolos yoser mikashir biyom tov letzorachol zorachakom filu bisachas. And therefore, it's not just that it's usher to knead the non-Jews; it's also usher to knead extra dough for the weekday. Kevin Dain Shevach Baribuy can come out Shmoz Larshana Poskim Lenin Mamaleas Kedir Shalbasar Ainsham. Vim Kane, Lefizel, Si Shapir Larshana Mishnais, Parakam the Chala, and that's why the Mishnah says, Behind the Isis Klavim, Naaseis Beyumta, that it's about making it, not baking it. Lesefa ain't Nasus Beyumta, Vafil Lisha Bechlal. So then why did Rav Chisda use the word it's Asr to bake? Who a din Vikol Shekin Asr Lalush? It's even more so true that it's usher to bake. V'nakad afil ribu said he was taking baking to tell you the chiddush. The af al gav the yeshevach afia beribui pas. Right, he paskins like Tosfos that you're not allowed to fill up the oven with extra bread. So the reason he said you can't bake is not to tell you you can't bake, but you can knead. Was to tell you you can't even bake. Even though when you bake the Jew and the non-Jew's bread together, it improves the quality of the Jew's bread. L'may dekaimelon kirash ba filo hachi asur v'hainu b'tam shekasav ha-tosos, and that's based on what the Tosos had said. Kamosha avair v'ayri milsud of chesed gon shenilish behetar kagon merav yom tov al yedei akom da filo hachi asur la'afosa. So that's just that parenthetical comment that right? For a moment, he had this linguistic chiddush that maybe Lisha is mutter because he says ein ne'efes, or Chista says ein ne'efes, but he says no. The rest of the brisa say ein da'ases, and the only reason you would say you can't bake is because it's a bigger chiddush, you can't bake. But obviously, you cannot knead the non-Jew's bread because there is no purpose for it. Okay. So now, the last thing we'll do today, but this will take us a bit of time, it looks short, but it really isn't that short. It's much more complicated than it looks, is the... So as we mentioned, right, if we remember the Gemara we saw last week. So the Gemara first says, if a Jew and a non-Jew co-own an animal, you're allowed to shecht it because it's one act of shechita and you need to shecht it for a kazayas of meat. If a Jew and a non-Jew co-own dough, you're not allowed to bake the whole thing because you can split it up, and that was the whole sugya we just saw. Then the Gemara brings the story of the army, where if they give you their flour and say, you have to bake for us, so the Gemara says, as long as you give it to a if while you were baking you could give the bread to a child, so then it's mutter. And then the Gemara gets into the discussion of forbidding inviting non-Jews on Yom Tov because you might end up cooking for them. Right? Those are the four halachic issues at play. But as we noted last week, at least at first glance, issues 2 and 3 seem to contradict each other. Right? The claim that you're not allowed to bake dough, which is half owned by a Jew and half owned by a non-Jew, because half of it isn't yours, if that's usher, so then if you're cooking for an army and 99% of it is going to go to the army and 1% might go to your child, but not necessarily, and that's mutter, right? Those seem to be contradictory, because in the first case, even when it, right, even though 50% is yours, 50% is the non-Jews, and there's no evidence he cares which half is yours or which half is his, right? It's usser. But then in the case where it's 100% the non-Jews, but you get a little bit of it, suddenly it's mutter, right? So they seem contradictory. And Rashi, in fact, so now if you look at Rashi in fact picks up on that and says, yeah, they are in fact contradictory. So if you look, where is it? I should have put the Divrei Maskil for it. Yeah. Kol chada v'chada. It's like, I don't know, 10 lines from the bottom. Kol chada v'chada, right? So again, if we want to just look quickly back at the Gemara, the two dots in the Gemara, right? The Gemara had said, Bo mi nemei Rav Huna, hane b'nei baga d'ramo alayu kimcha d'v'nei chela. When you have this army that they give you their dough, their flour to make bread, ma'u lafosu b'yom tov, can you bake it on Yom Tov? Omar, chazino iyave li'rifte li'inuka v'lo kapti. So the Gemara answers, if each loaf, you would be allowed to give it to a baby, velokapti, and they wouldn't care. Kol chad v'chada chazya liyenuka v'shori. Each one is able to be eaten by a Jewish child, and therefore it's permitted. V'ilav aser. So Rashi comments, kol chad v'chada upalik Rav Huna d'Rav Chisda. This must be arguing Rav Chisda. To amar chetz shel nachar v'chetz shel shal aser lafosa. Because Rav Chisda said that even 50-50 is aser. So how in God's name could 99.1 be mutter when it's only 1% for a Jew if 50-50 is aser? It just must be they're contradicting each other. One shita says it's mutter and one shita says it's aser. That's all there is to it. But Tosu says no. So Tosu says chazinan. So what's the difference? Right, we already mentioned this different right last week. What's the difference between the case of the dough which is half owned by a Jew and half owned by a non-Jew, which is aser, and the dough which is owned by the non-Jews, which you're baking for them? What's the difference?
The difference is in the former case, you have food for Yom Tov. And in the latter, if you don't bake for them, you're not going to have the food.
Right, or you're not going to have this food, right? The glaring difference seems to be that we're talking about where what allows you, in the first case, you're going to get your 50% one way or the other, because you own half, and the goy owns half. In the latter case, it's not your dough, it's the non-Jew's dough. So if you want any of it, you need to bake it for him, and then he'll be okay with you taking a little bit and giving it to a child. In other words, it's more parallel, ironically, to EF Charlotte Kazai's Basar below Shechita. Right? It's the same thing as saying, I have a massive cow, I own one kezias, and the guy owns the rest, and yet the Gemara is explicit that it's mutter for me to shech the animal, because for me to get my one kezias of meat, I need to shech the guy's entire cow. It doesn't matter. So here, to get the tiny sliver of this flour, right, of this dough, of this bread that I'm going to bake, I need to bake the whole thing, because otherwise, why would the army, why would this guy give me rights? So that's what Tosfos picks up.
Why does it have to belong, why does the wheat or the dough or the flour have to belong to the army? Why can't it belong to you?
Because, well, in this case, it does, right? It's Diramolai Kimcha Devnei Chela, where you're given the flour of the army, Ma'ul Afos of the Yom Tov. But you're right. The implication, as we'll see, the implication for Tosfos is yes, it's only in this direction. If it was your dough, right, ironically, if it was the Jews' flour, you couldn't cook for the army. Because, right, because then...
Why?
Because you could eat yours without giving it to the... Without giving it to the... Because you don't need the goyim. You don't need them.
I mean, chances are...
This is not a pikuach nefesh case. It's not a pikuach... If it's a pikuach nefesh case, it's not a question.
I'm talking about
right, right.
The army comes in, basically says, okay, we're taking all your wheat. You're going to make it bread. And if we're nice to you, we'll leave a little bit over.
Right, so again,
that's a more likely scenario we're talking about.
Right, so the case here, the Risharim assume, is not quite that, or maybe it is, right? Maybe it's a case where they've confiscated everything, now everything is de facto theirs. But the point is, if it was just yours, and they, you know, came, let's say it wasn't, they weren't forcing you, right? Let's say you got a government deal.
Understood.
Right?
Yeah.
So... Then you couldn't say, well, oh, I have a government deal, but hey, it's my dough. As long as the army gets fed, what do they care if I give some to my kids? Well, that's not mutter, because then don't take the deal. Here is a case where you're not going to be allowed to have the flour, either because it's theirs or because they've confiscated yours. I don't care how it became theirs. I don't care if it's legitimate or illegitimate. The point is, at this moment in time, they are in control of the flour. And the assumption of the Rishonim is they actually own the flour. But it could just as easily be that it's your flour they've now confiscated and they de facto control it. I don't care what the case is. The point is, if you don't bake for them, you're not going to get any of this dough. Right? You're right. It could be a case where they've confiscated it, right? And it really was once yours.
Isn't that what Rashi says?
What?
The Rashi's? Or is that a different case?
That's the next case.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Right, that's the next case. Okay. Right, where they came to, they wanted to take everything, right, and to appease them, they shechted their own animals. Yeah, it's the next case.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tosfos says, Pirish Rashi, Upliga, Ahi Dilla Elder, of Chizda, the Gomer Isa Chetzel Shal Nachre Vechulei, the Afshal Mifuga Belisha. So, he said, Rashi thinks that this is a machlokas. He says that above, we said that since you can divide it during the kneading, so you have to. And here we say you don't have to. So it's a machlokas. The Omer Ri, but the Ri said the Lopligi, they're not arguing. The Shiny Isa, Chetzer Shal Nachar, the Chetzer Shal Yisrael, the Yisrael Matzi Lemiflagav Alefos Chalko. Because when it's half owned by you and half owned by the guy, you actually can split it and still get your half. Well, but here it was the army's flour, or as Alan suggests, not the army's flour. It was your flour, which they confiscated. Same difference. The point is, it's now theirs. But they're making you bake. If you didn't agree to bake everything, you wouldn't get anything. But now that you baked for the army, as lo kapati, now they'll be okay. Take a loaf of bread if you want. The chen be'egel de basamach. The next case also lo shayech lev shalom mifshlegation she nasnu mishalohem umishum hachim ayulokin mimenu yemakpidim umloy de torach habishol kederach mevashlim sheochlin me'at min habishol lohachi parach adar vuna me'achad. The same next case is the same, that it's only mutter for you to shech their animals and cook them if they're going to let you taste it, like, because it's normal for someone who's cooking food to taste it. Now, it seems to be more than that, right? It's not just that you wouldn't be able to do anything. The diuk of the Gemara is called chada v'chada chazalei nuka, is they don't care what you eat, right? It's not that, because presumably, according to the Gemara, it sounds like, if I was baking 1,000 loaves of bread, and they said, look, you can give us 999, and you get the 1,000th loaf, so it might not be mutter, because the first 999 are totally the guys. It sounds like at least the straight read of the Gemara was called Chada Vechada Chazilei Nuka. Any of them could be for the kid, right? It's a case where the kid is walking around, and at any point, if he walks in, you would give him a loaf of bread, and it could be anything, right? Do you actually need it to be Chol Chada Vechada? Tosvos isn't clear, right? According to Tosvos, I could read it the first way, right? Then no, even if it's 999 loaves going to the guy, and the last loaf going to the kid, since I can't get to that loaf without baking 999, they're all a subcategory of a whole nefesh. You could get away with reading that in Tosfos. I don't think that's actually what it means, but you could, in theory, suggest it. I think what's more likely is that what he's imagining is that your kid is walking around, and the guy won't care if you happen to walk in and take some of the bread for your kid, and therefore each one of them is what?
Potentially?
Yes, potentially yours. The Rajba. Okay, so the Rajba has a slightly different explanation, but it's not going to become totally clear until you see the Magen Mishnah. So we're going to have to do this a little bit. I mean, whatever. It's going to be a little bit out of order, but that's just the way it's going to have to be. The Rajba has a slightly different explanation in one line. He says, "Veyesh Lomar the Kevan Shezimnin." Shezimnon, kidelo efshar lemiflaga dami. Right, the reason that it is mutter is because it's as if you can't divide it. Now, what exactly is he saying? So, the Magen Mishnah is from his base medrash. So, I think what the Rajba is saying is what the Magen Mishnah explains for the Rambam. So, let's see the Rambam and then the Magen Mishnah. So, the Rambam says as follows: Behema shechetzer shel goy, the chetzer shel Yisrael, mutter l'shoch d'biyomtov. Right, if you have an animal, half owned by a Jew, half by a non-Jew, it is permitted to shecht because you need it for the one kezias of meat. Aval iser shechetzel l'goy v'chetzel Yisrael asher lafoso so b'nei she'ochal l'chalek abatzeik. But if it's dough, it's prohibited because you could divide the dough. B'nei achayel shenosnu kemach l'Yisrael lasos lam pas b'yom tov. But if the army gives dough, gives flour to the Jews to bake them bread, im kishnosin pas mimena l'tinok in makpidin. If you would give it to the child, he wouldn't care. Because each loaf of bread could go for the child. And the animal dough, whatever that means, if the shepherds can also eat it, it's mutter. And the rabbi says, the Rambam is right, even though the Rif argues, as we'll see. So the Magen Mishnah says, okay, so what does the Rambam mean? He says, he quotes the position of Rashi, which I didn't give you. But the first thing the Magen Mishnah does is he quotes the position of Rashi, that there's a machlokes between the first half of the Gemara and the second. But he says, the Rambam and Tosfos and the Rajba clearly think there's no machlokes between the case of the dough, half owned by a Jew, half owned by a non-Jew, and the case of the army's dough. So he says, why? Ani mekayim ha-girso mekayim dvarav. I'm going to defend the girso of the Gemara, I'm going to defend the Rambam. V'chi amru upliga lava haderav koi elodam yana dodi dahi derav imloi ofen kolpas lohem v'loi v'chon lefos menu pas achas l'hitul l'tinok avol bezimon akuti. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the Rajba. I should go. Just go back to the Rajba again, just to read it again. Yesh lomar. Again, this is a Rajba from a little bit later on. This is the Rajba on inviting the guy. Okay. So the according to Rashi. I just filled this in. Rashi seems to also think that the prohibition to invite a guy is also subject to machlokas, right? Because inviting a guy also seems to go like the first position. But if you think you're allowed to bake the army's dough because any piece of it could go to the Jew, so why shouldn't you be allowed to invite a guy on Yom Tov? Because you invite a guy on Yom Tov, anything that you're baking could go to the Jew. Right, so Rashi argues on everything, right? Rashi assumes that there's a machlokas across the board, that case one and one in four are in agreement. No, sorry. One is the case of shechting the animal. Leave that aside. Case two and four are in agreement, and case three is the outlier. Right? That the prohibition to bake the dough half owned by Jew and half owned by non-Jew, and the Isser Darabanan of inviting a non-Jew and Yom Tov, are both assume that it's not enough to say it could go to a Jew. The middle case says that as long as it could go to a Jew, it's mutter, but therefore it's also mutter to invite a guy on Yom Tov. The Rajba, Tosos answers it by saying, no, there's a difference between, Tosos only answers the difference between case 2 and 3, right? He doesn't get into four. He says the difference between the bread, which is 50-50, and the bread of the army is the 50-50 you could divide and eat your whole portion. In the case of the Goy, the Goyisha army's bread, you couldn't eat anything if you didn't bake for them. But he doesn't get into the guest case. The Rajba gets into the guest case, and he says, V'yesh lomar, d'cheven shezimnon kidlo esher lemiflagadami. No. If you invite the guy, it's as if you can't divide it. So what does that mean? Right? Why would it be that if you invite a guy, it's worse than the case of the army? Because it's as if you can't, it's considered, you now it's, you can't divide it and give it to the Jew. So here's where the Magid Mishnah picks up. So he says, Abu Bezimun Hakuti, when you invite the non-Jew, Lo Yigra Chelek HaYisrael Im Lo Yizmanu Share Mishal Yisrael No Simba Upasatino Gumnei Achayil. So he said, you could distinguish between the case of the guests and the case of the army. Because you could say, look, the case of the guests is the worst of all, because at least in the army case, they're not going to give the bread to the child if he doesn't eat it. But in the guest case, right, you have the option of not inviting him and eating all the food yourself. So that's the worst. So that's why there's a machlokes about inviting guests. But he said, V'chi amru pliga nirali. Damai the salak minei koi. Damar lebay the reviyo. Sev damandar melochem v'lo loklam v'em mani stuf shalei lichu seichashin lo biyom tov. The case of the animals, where you're not... which we'll get to, right? How do you feed them? And Yom Tov Amar Lei Chazan Asaka gets into this whole mukta issue, so we'll skip this. I did put it. He explains it right here, right? What he says is, right? I just put too much of it. I put the mukta savalza, right? What he says in the end of the day, the difference is that if you have the three cases, right? So the case of the 50-50, you really can't divide it. And therefore, when you're baking the non-Jews, it's only for the non-Jew. That's a problem. The case of the army, they won't give you anything if it's not roi to the Jew. And therefore, it's considered that you're doing it for the Jew. But when you invite a non-Jew, you're choosing to put yourself in this situation. So he says, what's mutter? In the middle case, you have two factors. One is that you aren't allowed to have anything without baking for the non-Jew. And two is the non-Jews aren't picky, and they'll let you have anything. And therefore, every single thing is ra'i for the Jew. Now, the case of the inviting a non-Jewish guest, it has the benefit of two, but not of one. Right? Everything could be eaten by a Jew, so it has that benefit, but you didn't have to put yourself in this situation. So the Magen Mishnah seems to be saying, what is the Rajba really saying? That, how do you square the three cases together? You need two things together. You need that it's impossible for the Jew to access it at all without doing the thing for the non-Jew. And you need that every part of it is potentially for the Jew. So, in the case of the 50-50, you could just split it down the middle. So you could get out, right, you could get out of baking the non-Jews. In the case of the army, A, you can't get out of baking it if you want any of it. And B, the non-Jews don't care which loaf of bread, and therefore each one is ra'i for the Jew. The case of the guests, everything isn't theoretically ra'i for the Jew, but you didn't have to put yourself in this situation, and therefore it's usur. And that's how you square the cases together, right? So you have Rashi who says they don't work together, right? You have Tosvos who says, seems to say the only thing you need is whether the Jew is allowed to access the food without baking for the non-Jew or not. And the Rajbo says, no, it's only much if you have two factors. That it's only, you can only access the bread or the food if you cook it or bake it for the non-Jew. And that every aspect of the food could be that, or every portion of the food could be that which goes to a Jew. And therefore, all three cases really do work together. At least that's how I understand the Rajba, based on the Magid Mishnah. Okay, so that's basically this sugya. And then at the two dots, right, we're in the middle of this. So just to see the Gemara one more time, we just have a few more minutes. And just to set up what we're going to do next week. So the Gemara then brings this story, right, we saw last week of the case where they... an army came in, they cooked for them, etc. And then if you just skip down to the first wide line, to the end. So after retelling this story that he had baked for them, Amr lo tameh ani im lo yotz eschachem v'eseichetchem, how did you do this? Sharei Amr tar lochem lo lo avdei kochavim. Right? This whole Gemara is animated by this prohibition at the end, that lochem is limited to Jews and not non-Jews. V'amai v'chazol mecha minei. So Gemara says, I don't understand. The case in the middle was that they had shechted animals for the army. The Gemara says, okay, but they could have eaten the meat, so why is it considered for Jews? Amar Rav Yosef, egal treifa havoy. It must be that the only time it's totally, totally usher is if you're shechting non-kosher meat for them. Because then, it's totally for the Goyim. But you're right. If you were shechting animals and you were going to give some to the army and some to you, right? They're making you shecht, but you could eat any of it, then it would be mutter. The Gemara says, v'hachazi laklavim. The treifos you could give to dogs. So the Gemara says, tanoihi. The question of whether you're allowed to feed animals on Yom Tov is itself a machlokas. Tanya, ach asher yochel chol nefesh ulevado yaseh lochem. You're allowed to cook for Jews. Mimashma shemer lechol nefesh. When it says all souls, shomene fil nefesh behema b'mashma. So it sounds like that would be even an animal. Kinyan shemer maki nefesh behema yishalmena tamalomer lochem. Lochem v'lo leklavim. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, no, we exclude animals. Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu nefesh, behema v'mashma, you are allowed to cook for animals. Imken matam v'lomer lochem, lochem v'lo leklavim, you're not allowed to cook for non-Jews. Umara Isa l'rabo says, haklavim lohotzi es ha'ov deklavim. Why would you choose, right? Lochem excludes someone, but why would you say you're allowed to feed dogs and not non-Jews? The Gemara says it's not meant to insult non-Jews, it's just, marban is haklavim, shemazonos an alecha. Because we're talking about your pets, right? Your farm animals. You have an obligation to feed them. As opposed to your non-Jewish neighbor, you have no obligation to feed him. So if I'm going to exclude somebody, I'm going to exclude somebody you don't have to feed. Which is, if you remember the Ramah, right, the reason the Ramah thinks that you're allowed to cook for your avadim and shvachos is based on this line.
How's that different than klavim?
It's not, and that's why the Ramah thinks it's mutter. Right? The reason the Ramah thinks it's mutter is based on the Rishonim, who said, oh, the reason we exclude Goyim were those Goyim who you don't have to feed. But that implies, if it's a Goy you have to feed, i.e. your Eved, right, then yes, you in fact can cook for them. That's exactly what the Ramah is coming at.
It's also Dreisa, isn't it? If you don't feed your dog, or you know,
not feeding your dog would also be Tzar Balachayim, but the point is that you're obligated to feed them, right? And then, as I mentioned, right, there's this parenthetical sugya here of muktzah, which we'll skip over next week, and then what we'll come back to next week is this question of the goy, but specifically, we'll spend a little bit of time on the question of psak, maybe 10 minutes, on which way do we paskin, because as interesting as it is to get into the proofs of how do we paskin? Do we exclude goyim and animals? Which one do we paskin? Like, at the end of the day, we paskin at least that you can't cook for non-Jews. But the real halacha maisa issue is not stam, you're going to cook for non-Jews. It's the prohibition to invite non-Jews. What are the parameters of that, which Gemara says later on? And the other issues we'll see are, the other times where it really comes up in psak is inviting a non-Jew generally, inviting an intermarried couple, inviting someone in the process of geirus, a hotel owner who owns a hotel and has non-Jewish guests, right? And there's a continental breakfast every morning, right? These are all shailas that come up. So we have to see what are the exceptions to the rule and will they help us? There's also the question of, in this case, right? In some cases in Torah, Jews who are Machalei Shabbos, Befarhesia, count as a non-Jew. Is this one of them? That's a big machlokas amongst the Achronim, which creates a much bigger problem, because then that would mean you can't even invite non-religious Jews to your Yom Tov meal, which would be a huge problem. And the Mishnah Brura actually paskins that Mumar L'Chal Shabbosos is included in Goy for this purpose, so we have to figure out whether Tinok Shenishba applies in this scenario. These are all things that we'll come to next week, just to, right, as a heads up for that.